I think it's on. We're in. We're good. Welcome to the Storage Jumpstart. This is Prabhu.
Hello.
Prabhu Ramadan. Ramadran. Senior product manager for server in the server and infrastructure group.
That's right.
And we're going to be talking about storage, and then a little bit more storage on the side
right
today.
And if we forget, more storage.
Yes, just in case we want to throw a little bit of extra storage in there, we'll be talking about storage. If you wanted to, you could actually start a coffee drinking game of taking a drink whenever we say the word storage, and you'll go through about 15 pots of coffee throughout today.
Yep.
Storage is something we're both a little bit passionate about, so I'm actually very, very excited to be talking about this today.
Right. And If you were to just carve out what we've done in storage in 2012 and the R2 release, that itself could be a release on its own.
Oh, yeah.
So there's so much stuff that the team has worked on, especially on storage. So
yes.
Super excited.
Yeah, so I hope you're all strapping yourselves in and getting ready to go. We're trying something a little bit new with this particular approach to the Jumpstart. We're going to be going in short, discrete modules. And we're not really going to be representing kind of a time of day. We're going to be going module, a little bit of a break, module, a little bit of a break, module, a little bit of a break. So hang in there. We've got six modules-ish,
yeah.
With a special bonus at the end. So stick around for the very last one. They all will be available eventually on demand within, I think our time frame is usually about a week or so after this particular live broadcast goes on. They'll be available on MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. But we should probably do a little bit of an introduction of ourselves.
Yep. Hey,
you want to bring up the slides over there?
Yep.
And
slides
let people know who we are? So I'm Rick Claus, in case you haven't seen me before. I think you might have if you've been to Microsoft Jumpstarts. I've done a number of them. I've got the battle scars to prove it. I'm a senior technical evangelist with the newly formed Business Development and Evangelism Group at
Ooh.
Microsoft. We had a reorg recently that was publicly announced, and I'm part of this new group that's there. I'm basically kind of your server hugger, if you wanted to kind of qualify a bit of my background. I've done a little bit of everything over the last 20-odd years, focusing mainly on core infrastructure, Active Directory and identity, storage as well. Obviously, I've touched on many different types of storage and storage implementations over the years. I've been at Microsoft now for about 8 years doing this evangelism thing. And why don't you tell a little bit about yourself there, Prabhu?
Sure. My name is Prabhu Rambhadran. I sit in the Windows Server and System Center product management team. My main area of focus is around storage, networking, DR, backup, everything related to storage, networking,
and
infrastructure pieces.
Tell us, for those that don't know, tell us a little bit about what a product manager does in the whole scheme of what Microsoft is, if
sure.
you can.
Think of the engineering team basically working on the product.
They're the ones heads down coding the stuff and getting stuff done,
right? That's kind of what I did the first half of my career at Microsoft.
Okay.
I was in the Windows client and server development team working on the same products that I'm marketing today.
Yep.
So the engineering team eventually hands out the bits to the product marketing team.
Mm-hmm.
And the product marketing team basically brings it out into the market. So we try to understand what's great in the product. We talk to a lot of customers, try to understand what they want in the product, pipe it back into the engineering team. So we're kind of the face to the outside world and the input back into the engineering world.
Right. And so you're actually a bit of a, I'd call a double threat, because you're down to the level of code and doing stuff inside the kernel and working with stuff like that,
right.
And you're also on the marketing side now.
That's right.
So watch out for Prabhu.
That's kind of what I do at Microsoft. So I've been doing this for the last 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. And I know some of the things you've also been doing is you're the background of developing those lovely keynote demos and delivering those keynote demos
right.
on stage with lots of different people.
Right. So one of the things that we do is architect the keynote demos,
mm-hmm.
The keynote slides, decks, everything that goes into building an event, something like TechEd or MMS, things that we've done in the past.
Yep.
And then just building those cool demos, some of which we'll be seeing today as well.
Oh, great.
We've shown a few of these demos in TechEd, but we thought, this would be a good opportunity to kind of double-click
mm-hmm.
and get into the bare bones of how the product actually works.
Mm-hmm. I think we have the agenda come up next, or a little background information. I'm trying to remember the order of the slides we got. It's some assumed knowledge. So for everyone that's joining us today, either recorded or live, we're assuming that you have some kind of experience working with Windows Server, be it the previous version, as we like to call it here at Microsoft, the N-1, or now it's almost N-2,
right?
Which is Server 2008 R2 and Windows Server 2012. If you haven't touched either of those ones and you're still in 2003 and before days, you're going to have a little bit of a learning curve, because definitely stuff has changed since 2008, yet alone 2012. But don't worry, hang in there. We'll be able to bring you along with the story as well. Some experience with doing installing configuration and building and working with servers, direct attached storage, basically, right, and that sort of stuff. And then also familiar with different types of storage technologies. Now, you wanted to comment something on this one here specifically.
So the thing is, people kind of are taken by surprise when you see, you know, experience with different kinds of storage technologies. Mm-hmm. All that we expect you to know is just walk through the Server Manager UI,
yeah,
maybe create a volume, maybe, yeah, format a disk. As long as you've done that from within Windows Server Manager, to a large extent, you should be good here.
Right, but we're not expecting that you have a PhD in the black art of fiber cutting and splicing or something,
right,
like that.
Right.
We're simply a matter of that you have some experience either requesting LUNs or making the LUNs yourselves from a storage enterprise appliance, or else you happen to be doing it yourself on,
right,
the
VAS. That's kind of one of the design goals when we started out building the product, right? Mm-hmm. So after 3 or 4 hours that we'll be talking about storage, if you feel that, you know, your starting knowledge was basic understanding of Windows Server and volumes, creation of volumes and formatting disks, that's where you started, and if everything that we spoke about didn't make a lot of sense, let us know. We just assume that, you know, the whole design goal was to make storage so easy that if you're a server admin, if you have basic knowledge managing server and storage, you should be able to get most of what we'll be talking about,
yeah,
today.
And then we're going to be using a variety of tools. We're going to be using Server Manager, we're going to be using PowerShell, and we're also going to be using our Fabric Management tool, which is System Center Virtual Machine Manager,
right,
to be able to go off and do a bunch of different ones of our demos, and architecturally when we're talking about stuff too.
Right, so what we wanted to do was, you know, whenever we speak about a new technology that you need to be aware of, we are doing it at Windows Server level, so,
yep,
that you know how the technology works and what it is all about. But when you're managing it at cloud scale, then we kind of shift to System Center Virtual Machine Manager,
yes,
and kind of do the same things that you do from Windows Server, mm-hmm, but at a much larger scale.
So you can almost kind of step back and think of anything that we're doing in one particular interface, you could probably do in 3 other ways with different interfaces.
Right.
You choose the one that meets your needs and meets the scale that you have and also meets the way that you happen to manage.
Yep.
Obviously, we also have an assumption that you're going to be familiar with going ahead and protecting your data,
right,
just general storage and protection,
right,
and backup and recovery concepts. And also, you know what, we're just going to go through and get ourselves started with a little bit of PowerShell. Oh,
yep.
We'll save the PowerShell until later. Don't want to,
yep,
scare everybody off. But from an agenda perspective, as I mentioned, we're going to kind of focus on smaller chunks.
Mm-hmm.
We're aiming to have each of these individual modules somewhere between 20 and 45 minutes-ish. There's a good chunk of demos in every single one. There are some, right, what I call marketecture slides that are in there too, just to explain some of those concepts. So we're going to be doing like a broad overview of the storage environments, and that's what we're going to be starting off with right now,
right,
and then diving deep into the specifics of the storage platform built on Windows and Windows Server.
Right.
That's got some pretty cool demos that we have lined up,
mm-hmm,
and then we switch off into management interfaces, how to do some protection of your data,
right,
and then finally wrapping it up with some getting started. I don't know if I like that title of the module. It's kind of backwards, right?
Right.
It's more of, if you wanted to go in and start today using storage, here's some examples of case studies of things that we've done so far.
Right.
Here's some partners that have some storage offerings. And I'm going to give you a special bonus section in there about how you can set this up on your own, even if you don't have access to a JBOD device with multiple drives, that sort of stuff,
right,
with a demo that I helped create, that I created for Tech at Australia and Tech at New,
nice,
Zealand, based,
nice,
on a blog post from Jose Barreto.
Nice.
So you'll see this slide coming up. You want to flip to that last slide.
Sure.
This is kind of our closing slide, just to remind people about some of the resources. I just realized I have the wrong Twitter hashtag up there. It should be MVA Jumpstart listed there. So I'll correct that for the next slide coming up. If you wanted to interact with us on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @signrickstercdn. And yours is?
It's Prabhu underscore MSFT.
Prabhu underscore, yeah. The underscore MSFT. We kind of keep those in the background. We keep track on those, but we definitely keep track with what's going on in the chat room. As one person's kind of delivering and talking, the other person's watching the chat room. Mm-hmm. We'll see what we can do to be able to take some questions from there as we go. Sure. Obviously, there's definitely hands-on labs you can go off and try with a lot of the stuff that we're working with today, as well as downloading. Now, the links there are for the preview bits currently. However, those will move over to become non-preview bits and final bits when we have GA.
Right.
And the time frame for GA is?
So October 18th is when we are hitting GA.
Right.
So it's less than a month now.
And that's general availability, in case we need to try to break down some of these acronyms.
Right.
And general availability means that you should be able to get an evaluation copy of the product downloadable from our eval center.
Right.
And also, if you happen to be acquiring this through volume licensing, through a retail channel, through OEM channel, that's when it's generally available for everyone to go off
right.
and buy.
Right. So if you have a volume license, it should be available for download on the 1st of November.
You got it. As I mentioned, the recordings for this particular episode will eventually be available on MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. Make sure you sign in there and try out some of these modules. And I also put a reference down there for one of my favorite blogs just recently. This is actually Corporate Vice President Brad Anderson's blog. He is the Corporate Vice President of Windows Server and System Center tools. I have some interviews with him that I've done. Mm-hmm. Awesome guy, very genuine guy. And he's got some great resources in there where he's actually kind of framing up the conversation around what is private cloud, what is System Center, what is the rest of the sort of stuff, and how it all fits. And then he gets the engineering team to back him up with supporting technical blogs that he reports back to and links back to. Great resources coming back from blogs at technet.com/b/in_the_cloud. We got to get him a shorter URL for
I know. But if you just search for In the Cloud, this is the first link that you would hit.
Yeah, he's also on Twitter, too, if you want to have an answer and a tweet from a corporate vice president. In the Cloud MSFT is his Twitter handle. So with that, that's kind of our brief introduction. We're going to switch gears now and go right into the next section.
Sounds good. So introduction's done. Let's just dive in now. So what the first section is basically going to be a storage overview, right? This is the marketing speak that Rick was talking about.
It's the framing. You frame the conversation.
Right. So at a high level, what I wanted to do was, you know, kind of give you an understanding of how Microsoft is thinking about storage, right? So think of three different segments, and this is kind of how we've split the day-to-day as well. So the traditional storage investments are the SANs, the storage area networks that you own and love, right? So what we've done in Windows Server 2012 and R2 to basically enhance the returns that you get out of your SAN. So whatever we could do from the platform level to maximize the returns on your existing infrastructure. So we'll spend some time talking about what we've done there. We'll spend majority of our time talking about new on-premise storage options that Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center enables you to build. And again, we'll speak a lot about it over the course of the day. And finally, the cloud integrated storage. Think of this as, you know, leveraging public cloud resources to kind of give you that bottomless storage for your data center. So how we are integrating Azure with on-premise data center so that you kind of get a seamless bottomless storage experience. So this is kind of how we think about storage. So all our investments in storage would fall under one of the three buckets. So the goal, like I mentioned, is, you know, if you have existing SAN infrastructure, how can we improve the performance you get out of it? How can you reduce the cost of storage? I mean, if you think about storage, most enterprises are growing at around 40% year over year. So you're looking at doubling your storage investments every other year, right? So think of Windows Azure. Windows Azure doubles its storage every 6 months. So that's a lot of storage. It has, we're adding 8.5 trillion objects every 6 months. So that's
trillion
a lot of data. And what we've realized is that, you know, if we go with traditional storage options, it really doesn't scale well for us. And that's what a lot of customers are seeing. And that opens up to newer opportunities, newer flexible storage models that are low cost, that are more flexible, but still give you the same performance and resilience that you're used to with your existing storage investments. And finally, the cloud integrated storage, like I said, gives you this elastic capacity where you could grow depending on your need without having to worry about purchasing additional hardware. So, you know, we'll get into details of each of these sections.
Yep.
So the first section is around maximizing your SAN investments, right? This is your traditional storage environments. Mm-hmm. What have we done in 2012?
So we're saying, first of all, we're not suggesting that you go off and completely throw out all your SAN investments
right.
and start a scratch and start a greenfield solution based
right.
on this. If you have a SAN, keep your SAN. It's used for the design that you designed it for, the IOPS and the purpose and everything else.
Right. Exactly. So there are workloads that have to run in a SAN.
Yeah.
That SAN gives you just the raw feature set and performance that mm-hmm. no one else can match. Right. So continue using your SAN. But the stuff that we've done in Windows Server that will improve or enhance the experience, that the feature set that you get out of your SAN.
And we also have obviously augmented what we can do if you're not using a SAN for a new implementation or you're exploring other options because you've outgrown your SAN, right?
Right, exactly. So like I said, right, 40% data growth is actually a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're looking at new storage options to add over the course of the next year, there are additional options that are available. And if you look at the amount, the kind of data that you have in a SAN, right, most people predict that about 60% of the data that you have in a SAN is unstructured, mm-hmm. right? So does it really have to live in a SAN? That's kind of a question that you need to ask yourself. And if it doesn't have to live in a SAN, what else do you have that's available today that's low cost, that kind of gives you the same kind of performance mm-hmm. and feature set?
So what specifically have we done in supporting your existing SAN investments for 2012?
Sure. So there are features like offloaded data transfer, virtual right. fiber channel support, thin and trim provisioning and unmapping.
Okay.
I'll kind of get into details of that.
Sure.
So the first thing that I want to talk about is offloaded data transfer, right?
Yeah.
Rick mentioned this, and I kind of spoke about this too, where you know you just get that super awesome performance out of your SAN, right? You have a dedicated fiber channel connection that's directly connected to either your virtualized workloads or your physical workloads. But a lot of times, the amount of data that you could transfer is limited by the CPU capacity that you have. So you're more often pegged on CPU than you are on how much data your fiber channel can, how much data you could pump through your fiber channel connection. So we introduced a technology called offloaded data transfer in Windows Server 2012. This is something that pretty much every storage partner supports today.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are essentially doing here is offload the data transfer onto your intelligent SANs, where, you know, instead of your CPU, your host OS doing the transfer, you instead pass on a token onto your host, and then the host validates that token to ensure that, you know what, the source is right, the destination is right. Hey, SAN, now you go ahead and do the transfer for me. So what happens is that when a transfer is initiated, the actual data never goes up to the CPU. All that goes to the CPU or the host OS is just a token of that data. And the token of that data gets transferred from the source onto the destination. And the destination verifies the authenticity of that token and says that, hey, you know what, this is the data that I want. Why don't you just go ahead and start the transfer now? And what happens after that is that the SAN actually transfers the data on to the destination. So you have intelligent SAN on the source, intelligent SANs on the destination, and the data gets transferred between these two directly without the host operating system ever being involved at all. So this is just fantastic because it gives you real good performance. So think of, you know, a scenario where you have about 16 spinning disks in a SAN. Your performance basically goes up by 8 times mm-hmm. just with ODX. You're not adding additional disks or anything like that on a 16-disk machine or a 16-disk SAN on the source and destination, 8 times performance increase.
I remember a demo that Jeff Woolsey was doing in one of the keynotes where he literally was moving a DVD worth of data a second
right,
between
exactly.
the disks. That's insane.
Right,
that's absolutely
right,
insane.
Right. And in addition to this, you're basically freeing up your CPU resources that's now available for your virtualized workloads.
Mm-hmm.
So use your capacity to things that you actually need as opposed to data transfers that could be offloaded. So that's essentially what we did in 2012 R2. The next thing that I want to talk about is virtual fiber channel in Hyper-V. So one of the reasons why a lot of workloads is still not virtualized is because the workload needs kind of unmediated access or uninterrupted access to the storage, right? Where, you know, IT pros are concerned about virtualizing it because they feel that the direct connectivity that they have to the SAN might be broken because of that. So virtual fiber channel is a technology that we introduced in 2012, where just the way you get direct connection onto your SAN from your physical workload, you now have the ability to do the same thing with your VM or from your VM as well. So every VM is assigned a worldwide name, right? So what happens is that the intelligent array that you have identifies the VM using this worldwide name. And you can have up to four different ports from a physical machine that's directly talking to the SAN that's exposed onto your VM. So what essentially happens is that you have a virtual port. Using the virtual port, your VM talks to your storage array, and the connection is used only for data transfer. So you kind of get near physical workload performance on a virtual workload using virtual fiber channel. And the cool thing about this is that because every VM has a unique worldwide name, when you live migrate the VM from one host onto another host, the worldwide name is scattered over as well. So there is no break in connection, and your connection from your VM onto your storage remains. So that nothing changes there at all. So till the VM is migrated onto the destination, the connection remains. And once the transfer is complete, then the VM in its destination location starts talking to the storage area network. So this is super cool because, you know, like I said, more reasons for you to virtualize. So irrespective of what kind of storage you have underneath, you now can virtualize up to 99% of all SQL workloads. And the 1% of the SQL workload that cannot be virtualized is because that's how they are, right? I mean, people have so much dependency with the underlying hardware that, you know, we're not able to virtualize it for reasons outside of whether Hyper-V supports it or not.
Yep.
So, like I said, from the virtualized workload onto your SAN unmediated connection.
We had a question from the online chat requests that was basically asking, is virtual fiber channel available in 2012 as well as 2012 R2, or is this something unique to 2012 R2?
No, this was introduced in 2012.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
There you go, small fox with two X's.
So the next section that I want to talk about is cloud integrated storage, right? A recent study came out where, you know, 80% of enterprise customers are looking at Azure or a public cloud solution, either for short-term or long-term backup solution, as a short-term or long-term backup solution. So we kind of want to get to a world where you don't have to deal with tapes anymore, right? So think of the amount of complexity tapes add into your storage. So you need to have traditional disks that has your live data. And every once in a while, you bring in those tapes and then move from the disk onto another layer of disk and then onto a tape. And then you put your tapes onto a warehouse. And the problem with that is every time your disk goes down or you need the data back, you need to bring the tapes back from the warehouse, try to identify which piece of data you want from the hundreds of tapes that you probably have, and then identify that and then copy it back and then, you know, bring it back into your production environment. That just takes so much time, right? So people are interested in leveraging Azure or public cloud as their long-term backup solution. So the first thing that I want to talk about is Windows Azure Backup. So this is a functionality that we added in Windows Server 2012 again. So this gives you the ability to basically install an Azure plugin onto your Windows Server box and then map a volume that you might have to be backed up onto Azure. So you could set a schedule just the way you'd back up your data onto your on-premise, you know, tape or backup environment, But instead, you're actually backing it up onto Azure.
So now this is important to note. This one does not do a system state backup. It's simply a volume backup of whatever files and folder structures are inside particular volume you've chosen.
That's right.
So it does not replace a proper system state backup.
It doesn't replace a
proper system. But it's like unlimited storage, dude.
Exactly.
It's like a drive in the sky or something.
Right. Oh, and right.
I guess we can't say that because we can't use that name anymore. But
yeah. A lot of people use this as short-term backup, right? Think of reprovisioning infrastructure that you might have, or a branch office solution where you need data to be backed up for 6 months, for 8 months, or whatever. And after that, you want to back it up to a tape or something like that, right? So a lot of people use this for branch offices, small and medium business offices, or just a short-term backup solution for the data that you have. And the plugin is agnostic of which cloud that you eventually pointed to. So you could choose the cloud provider of your choice, or you could choose Windows Azure. The next topic that I want to talk about is StorSimple. So this is an acquisition that Microsoft made last year. Mm-hmm. It's been almost a year now. So think of this as a 2U or a 4U appliance. It looks like a JBOD. It looks like actually a DVD player. It's super mobile, super portable.
It looks now. To be fair, the picture has it a bit larger than a DVD player. That's a 2U rack right there.
It's a 2U rack there. So think of a DVD player from 1995.
Okay.
So
a laser disc player.
A laser disc player. So what you essentially do with this device is that you rack it, and then it has two network connections, one that goes onto your server and one that's connected to Azure, right? So the device automatically tiers your data onto Azure. So the device has SSDs, regular spinning disks, and it has a connection onto Azure. And depending on the usage pattern of the data, the device automatically tiers the data from the SSDs onto regular spinning disks. And if it doesn't get used at all, then it compresses it, it dedupes it, and then encrypts it before sending it onto Azure. So what happens with this scenario is that the data that you need all the time is always within your data center. And the data that you don't need all the time gets automatically moved onto Azure, and without you doing anything at all. Right, so the tiering happens completely transparent to the application, and the data gets moved back and forth to Azure, completely transparent to the application. And you could discover this device as a traditional iSCSI target, very, very simple to provision. And then you could create volumes on top of it. Mm-hmm. You could increase the volumes on the fly. And like I said, because you have Azure in the backend, you literally have unlimited storage. So super useful, especially when you think about unstructured data. Think about your SharePoint farms, the backup. Think of backup data. Think of archives that you might have,
yep.
Videos, PowerPoints, documents, traditional file share data. The data, if 10% of the data gets used all the time, mm-hmm. and the remaining 90% of the data never gets used after 6 months. So that's what the pundits basically say.
Yep.
So do you really put all this data in your SAN? That's kind of a question that we asked at the beginning of the presentation, right? So when this gets moved to Azure and when it gets compressed and dedupe, you actually store you actually use a lot lesser space in Azure, mm-hmm. than what you'd use on-premise.
Okay.
And there's a special promo going on with this device where the device is now free of cost as long as you have an Azure subscription.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is a limited time offer. Talk to your Microsoft account manager if you have one, or go to storesimple.com and see what options you have.
So let's wrap this up with the last little bit of stuff about just kind of teasing about this new on-prem stuff. And then we're going to take a break and then come back and give the details with the on-prem stuff.
Right. So what we've essentially seen now is, what can you do with a SAN? What can you do with new storage options like StorSimple that integrates Azure?
It's the hybrid side.
It's the hybrid model.
It's the hybrid,
right,
stuff.
Right. The next piece that we're going to talk about is, just give a bunch of commodity disks, mm-hmm. to Windows Server and let Windows Server manage it for you. As you're taking this break, right, think of the top 10 features or capabilities that you like with your SAN today, and see what where the magic or where the secret sauce is. Is it in the hardware or is it in the software? And if it's in the software, does it make sense for Windows to have that piece of software and manage your underlying storage? So our fundamental premise is expose a bunch of disks to Windows, mm-hmm. and then let Windows manage it for you and expose that storage onto your Hyper-V or SQL workload. So that's what we're going to talk about in the next section.
Great. Do you want to talk just architecturally about the changes first? There's still a couple of small slides.
Sure.
We could just to give them a bit of architecture for where we're going to be going.
Sure. So what we're going to talk about is how do you manage disks using a technology called storage spaces.
Right.
And then we'll talk about how do we expose that storage onto your SQL and Hyper-V workloads using a scale-out file server configuration through the SMB 3.0 protocol. EMC published a white paper earlier this week mm-hmm. where they've actually said that SMB 3.0 is the future of storage.
Okay.
The recent announcement that they made around VNX supports SMB 3.0, and they think this is the way to go.
Okay.
So we'll actually dive into details of what SMB 3.0 is, what a scale-out file server is, what storage spaces is, what we've changed between 2012 and R2 with respect to storage spaces.
Okay.
And the other and a lot of other cool features that we've introduced with Windows Server.
Okay. Can you guys bring up mine for just a second here? I've got a slide up here just on storage space. I just want to build this up
sure,
for people
sure.
so they can see this. So you're talking about basically at the lowest level of what a storage space is. Again, this is for
right.
people that don't know what storage spaces is. It's something that's new that we introduced with 2012.
Right.
It literally is a mixture of different types of direct attached storage, either on SSDs, SAS drives like HDD spindles,
right.
Or SATA drives.
Right.
They're on all in the local box. That's important to note. Someone is asking in the chat room, can these be remote? Can these be on a NAS device? No. Local box,
right.
what we're talking about.
Right.
You group them together by pools, and that's
right.
think of that mostly as an administrative barrier or grouping by characteristic
right.
or who purchased them, literally.
Right. Or by your business needs,
yeah,
right?
You decide how you want to carve that up. You can
right.
delegate that out to somebody if you wanted
right.
to, but it's how you want to do that. And then you basically present this in, or you lay down a storage space, which is a virtual disk,
right.
which allows them to have a layer of protection
right.
for how we're writing the data to it on top of the system.
Right.
And then that then is exposed up to and is used with volumes, which then are used by all these different pieces of technology at the workload layer.
Right.
Can be Hyper-V, can be an SMB share, can be clustered shared volumes, that sort of stuff.
Right.
And then that's consumed by various, or that's presented out by scale-up file server as one example.
Right.
To your individual workloads that are going through stuff.
Right. And the important thing to note is that this will work irrespective of whether your workload is virtualized or physical.
Right.
That's a very important thing that people need to be aware of, especially I've had a lot of questions with respect to how does storage spaces compare with vSAN that VMware introduced
okay.
a couple of weeks back, right? So this works for mission-critical applications both on physical and virtualized workloads.
Right.
vSAN doesn't do it. It's only for virtualized workloads
mm-hmm.
and not for mission-critical applications.
Right.
We'll jump into details over the next few minutes.
You got it. And then this is just a little bit of a summary for the stuff that we talked about to kind of wrap up this one section. Again,
right.
We're not advocating that you go and you throw out your SANs with the baby water, if you will.
Right.
You keep your SANs. They've been designed for a specific purpose. They have a number of enhanced features
right.
and functionality that's there. And you can continue to leverage your investment that you've made
yeah.
in them because there's some awesome performing hardware that's in there.
Right.
And some stuff like ODX that we just don't do in the storage
right.
layer.
Right.
Same thing with, think of it like replication between data centers at the SAN level.
Right.
We don't do that with our storage spaces.
Right.
It's all local to the individual systems.
Right.
And then, as I mentioned, the next module we'll be talking more about the details of how we implement some of these things. We've
right.
got some very big demos we got to fit in there. So
right.
With that, I'm going to put up our resources slide. Once again, I'm trying my best to answer questions. I don't know if you can hear me typing in the background, but I'm answering as many questions as I can inside the chat room that's available if you're watching the live event to be able to go off and answer questions. We have a number of different MVPs, MCTs, and other Microsoft folks that are in there answering questions. Thank you for doing that because there's so many people, you guys, that are online watching this. Download a preview copy. Those links will work for the final copy when the final copy becomes available
right.
to the public at GA, which is
right.
October
18th.
And then also MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com is where these videos will be stored after this live event is done.
Right.
And don't forget to check out In the Cloud blog URL with Brad Anderson, the Corporate Vice President of Server and System Center together.
Right. That's
and
right.
with that, we're going to take a short break, about 10 minutes or so, and we'll be right back with some more details specifically on how we implement these new technologies on the Windows Server platform.
Right.
So come on back.